Well, we're teaching on the area known as God want you to prosper. We could say, you know, naturally we know from our teaching here that God does, but it's different for each one of us. You know, we need to understand this about prosperity and things. We deal with this subject and how we view it. And our faith will be different. There's people who are going to go so far. There's some that are not. Some aren't going to do it. Sometimes people run in and they are happy with their life the way that it is. They're going to arrive to a point. And one of the things that I just say to you is, you might run through periods in your life you're sort of happy the way things are. But if you don't learn to develop beyond that, you might run into a period of your life and you have no faith to go beyond it, and you need to. You'll need to. And number one is this. I just look at the fact, my wealth or whatever I have from prosperity, whether it's health in my life or whatever it is, it's not just for me.
Amen.
Most people, if you're happy that your life the way that it is, you should get unhappy because there's other people you need to, for love wants to reach out beyond you.
Amen.
If you don't have that, you know very little about prosperity. You don't know very little about what it's for. Most of prosperity has been taught in the church. It came in when they started the teaching, the charismatic renewal came, and this teaching and stuff ministries came, began to teach the word. The word came in on a low level, and it should, because people didn't know nothing about the subject. And God was trying to show people that He wanted to bless their lives. And so, more about was the areas of giving as we give and God blesses us back. But there's a higher level to walk in this thing. And most Christians never go to the higher level. They lack the baby. Hey, I need this. Let's get this. I need that. And it's more about our own personal needs and our own personal. We don't ride above the place, and we should go to the place where we're living in a higher level of faith that I am blessed. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am. That's a healing. Most Christians believe in getting sick and then trying to believe God for healing. That's a very low level to live on. You don't want to go to that. You want to arrive above that place where you come to the place, praise God, Jesus took my infirmities. You know, Jesus don't want to, even though the Bible tells us that Jesus will forgive me if I sin, I don't want to go sin, so I have to ask Him to forgive me. I want to live in the grace where I live above sin. Well, you want to live over in the area of health and not in the thing, the devil's allowed to make me sick and then I'll believe God.
Amen.
So you need to go to so this is what you're going to have to see a little bit further than what you're seeing.
Amen.
You know, it's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Everybody, I came in on that level, you know, is, hey, finding out about healing. Okay, something happens. Well, I found out, got a higher revelation. I thought, hey, there's things I ain't allowing to happen to me. You know, sickness comes knocked on that door. Say, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. You're not mine. No, no. This sort of flu thing is going around. Tried to come on me, and I said, we ain't going that place. Flu ain't visiting it. You know, it came knocking on my door, and I said, no, we ain't having this. No. So, you know, it stayed for about an hour, and then it left. So the next day, I tried to come back again, and I didn't even give it that much time. I, no. We ain't visiting. This is not mine. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. This thing ain't allowed on me. See, that's a whole different. Well, I'm believing God for healing. I ain't believing God for healing. I believe I already got it.
Woo! Hallelujah.
See, there's a level, and we need to see that. Just as in healing is exactly the way on finances. How I view this thing or how I see it is going to be the level that you walk in. If you're walking in the level, and which I did when I came in, I would believe God. If something come up and need money, I'd believe God for money. The money would come. But God taught me over time to how to keep money coming. See, it is the principle of coming in on every wave. It comes in, it don't come in on every problem. Every lack. That's what most people, that's the level of what, and I'm not criticizing anybody. I was walked there, that places, when I needed, something happened and I needed it. Then I could believe God. No, it's coming in all the time. I'm not trying to bring it in. And I always say, you guys hear me say, money follows me.
Amen.
You know, it's like I go to the beach. You stand, the waves don't come in and they stop for about an hour or two and then they, no, they just keep coming in. Those waves just keep coming in. And so you get over it. You can have your faith operating in that same manner in things in your life. Whatever it might be, where every wave Whatever your things are, they're coming to you. You're not trying to believe for them. You're already set. You have a way of thinking and a way of believing in your life that keeps you over into that place, because this is one thing. You'll find yourself not getting all upset, not being able to sleep at night because of a problem. You'll be, Now, blessing comes to me. That's happening. I'm going to sleep. Good night. That's going to be fine. See, if you're a person and you can only believe when it comes, you might have trouble going to sleep. See, you want to come over to this place of the blessed life. This is just my life. I'm blessed.
Amen. Thank you.
And see, you want to think over in that area and get into that place. Now, I'm just going to tell you, you don't arrive there overnight. Over time, it takes time for revelation. It takes time to develop. It takes time. You know, and then you've got to prove things out. And you'll prove them out. You know, it's just like Jesus. God fills him with the Holy Ghost, and first thing, sends him out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know what? I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to be a good soldier of faith, you're going to get tempted by the devil, and God's going to let him come and knock on your door. You ain't keeping him out. You need to get in some good fights. Because if you don't get in any good fights, you ain't got any good faith. A soldier that's never been in battle ain't a soldier at all. We have out here today, we can line up thousands and thousands of men, and we call them soldiers. They carry a gun and all that stuff. But we'll find out when the war starts.
Amen.
We'll find out when the war starts who's the soldier. That's the way it is. You can say anything you want. Just like the Second World War. We had an army. We had a navy. We had all those things. But I'm going to tell you what. When the war started, those guys weren't war people. They had to learn in the war. You know, the first Americans we sent over, and they sent to North Africa, they landed and got whooped. They met a guy who knew how to fight. He had been fighting for years. You know? He had been knocked down and got up and knocked others out. Our boys went over there and they had never been in a fight. And when they got knocked down, but they found out they kept going back at it till they became soldiers.
Hallelujah.
And after a while, Rommel couldn't stop them. Hitler and all the rest of his, but they couldn't stop them. But see, they learned to fight. Well, it's the same way. You're going to find your Christian walks like that. This is why a lot of Christian, they come in this fairy tale Christianity. No. This is a place where you learn to stand. You learn to walk by faith when times are hard. You learn to smile when things are not going beautiful for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
These are the places you want to live. You don't want the average Christian, I call them this, a roller coaster Christian. They are up on the hill one day, and all of a sudden, just as they got up on that hill, faster than they got to the top, they come right to the bottom. And they're boo-hooing. Oh, this problem. And then it's a crawling back up to the hill again. They get to the top and something goes wrong. One day they're shouting, the next day they're boo-hooing. One day shouting. It's roller coaster. I call them roller coaster Christians. Riding up and down. No, you want to come this place where you're just like God, you change not. That you're just the same, whether you're up and down. That's one thing I could say, you know, especially my dad. I don't care what went on. That man acted the same. I don't care what. He was just... Everything was going good. Something went bad. My dad, this is what life is. Something goes bad. You just got to deal with this thing. That's the way he was. You know? And we need that. You know, we don't have that stability today. I mean, I can't look down at Washington on the news and see our congressmen. I don't care whose side they're on. They're fussing and fighting up and down. Oh, we got a victory. Now we got, you know, we turn around and say, oh yeah, the Supreme Court threw out the abortion thing. Oh, didn't it make them all? Oh, they were all cheering. This is great. And now they're whining again. Like, well, this through God, he didn't know something else was going to come. And they're whining, just like nothing good happened. Because why? God ain't big enough to change laws again. He can't do it twice. He did it once and they never expected it at all. Why? Because they didn't know it was coming. They're fighting physical battles. Thank God there was people praying who were fighting spiritual battles they knew nothing about. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Thank God for the people that know God.
Amen.
Don't do any good if you're just going to fight men all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
this morning, I want to look at some things because I was going to go on from last Sunday's things and the Lord told me just lay that aside, but go look at other areas. I'm going to look at the area of tithing. There's some things that God has dealt with me over the years that I really haven't taught or anything, but we want to look at some things. One of the things we're going to go really is back to the beginning, because you as a believer, we can sit and talk about the Word, but if you don't identify the Word with the God you serve, it's just words to do certain rules and regulations. God is not just rules and regulations. You've got to know Him and know His character and what He's like. And one of the things I want to go back to the beginning, we talk about God and giving, and we look back, we go back to the Garden of Eden. We're not going to go in and read into it. But in the Garden of Eden, God came along and He put this garden, it tells us, for man, and He put man in this garden. Now, we read this thing, a garden, and we think about, like you go someplace and you go you ever been to Longwood Gardens and going into those beautiful places and the flowers and the stuff, and it's a nice, I don't know how many acres it is, a beautiful area. But you need to understand this, that wasn't nothing like the garden God had. They weren't in 25 acres of land. They were in a place that was so big, there was a river that went through it that turned into four other rivers. The Bible tells us. So this isn't like going in here looking at the Swati. Went through. This is the pictures that have been painted. Adam and Eve are in this nice little cute place. They're in an enormous place that God put them in. Now, they were there for this purpose. The Bible says that God created man to till the soil. So these people are supposed to go in there. They're going to work. Oh, boy, is that ever a dirty word. I don't work. Shoot, I don't want to know God. He put you to work. But anyhow, they're in this garden. But you know, God made all this garden. Now, I want you to think about this. All of this garden that He made for man, all that He put in here, He said, this is yours. And He puts one tree in there and says, that's mine. That belongs to me. And what did man want? Man wanted what belonged to God. Do you know why that tree was God's? Because God's the only one that could handle that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. How's it worked for you? How's it worked for you? God said, that's mine. There's things that are God's. Man thinks everything's for him. See, there was things with God. God said, you don't touch that tree. You don't touch that thing. That's mine. See, man was supposed to learn how to let God have his things. And God, the Bible says the earth's the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. But we need to understand this. He gave man dominion over it. Man's in charge of it. But man thinks it's all his. Christians think it's all theirs. See, we need to understand about our God. There's things that are His. It's just like, you need to know in relationships, There's things, even in relationships with people, even a husband and wife, are certain things you don't touch. Mama might knock you out. No, but there's certain things in relationship. We need to understand that about that. That's really knowing people in relationship. The average Christian does not know God. They don't know Him. There's not things that are untouchable. There's not those things. There's not those things that belong to Him. There's not these things. I'm just glad. I want Him to have. I want Him to have it. I dearly want Him to have it. And especially most people, they don't want Him to have them. Many people that are givers don't want God to have them, though. They'll give stuff, but don't have me. You ain't going to have me. I still have me. Dealing with those things. Hey, folks, we need to understand that when we had prosperity taught to us, we almost mostly just from a giving side, there's attitudes that'll keep you from prospering in life. I don't care how much you give and whatever you think you're going to get from God. This is why many people can't get healed. Many people have trouble with things. It's attitudes about stuff. It's how we are. You see, I've come to this place. God cannot ask too much of me. If I have that attitude, I'm going to guarantee you this, He's going to do the same thing to you. Amen. There's things you can never ask of Him. See, that relationship's built on this thing. Our relationship with God is built on how far we'll go with Him. He says, I'll go the whole way. But if you don't go the whole way, He ain't going with you. See, many people, this is the idea of giving. I give to God to get something back. And I've always been on this. I've learned this. Can he, now nobody ever preached it and said this to me. I was a young Christian. Well, can he ask of me anything I want? If I'm allowed to ask him of anything that I want. All things are possible to him that believeth. Oh yes, I can get anything from God. Well, let me ask you the other side of the coin. Will you give him anything he wants? If you won't, you'd set a limitation on your life of prospering. I'm not talking about just money. It can affect health. It can affect soundness of mind. The whole thing. Anything that the devil can find a weakness in me, he is allowed to exploit that. He's the God of this world. I'm living in his world. This is his world here. See, we walk in the light. Prosperity is walking over in this area where he can't touch you. Jesus said this, the devil doesn't have anything on me. He said, he can't take my life, I give it. The devil couldn't have killed Jesus unless he laid his life down. Because he had nothing in him. He wasn't self-centered in any way. He wasn't selfish in any manner. He wasn't, his view of life and his view of what he was here for, there wasn't nothing the Father couldn't ask of him, and there was nothing that the Father wouldn't do for him. He said this. See, I call for 12 legion of angels if I want to. They'll show up. He can ask for anything. He could. The Father would do anything for him. See, I want to live in that place. Don't you?
Amen.
Don't you want to go there? Do you want to, we want to get out of this babyhood idea of wealth and ideas. You know? God's will on earth like in heaven.
Amen.
You know? Ain't hard up there to get to. There's no bad attitudes up there. They ain't there. You know. And we need to get. I always wonder thoughts when people step into heaven, what it's like for them. All the things that, you know, we thought were so brilliant about, you step into heaven and they're like, oh my God. Wow, hey, I knew about that much of that. I just, you know. But it's like, but you know what? I don't want to get there being the dummy. And there are people going to get there, the Bible says this, are going to be ashamed when they meet him. They're going to be ashamed. I ain't going to be one of them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't want to get there not knowing my Lord.
Amen.
Not knowing what he's really like. I don't want to arrive at that place. I don't want to go there. I want to learn him here. I want to know what he's like. So when you step over there, you're not running into a stranger. See, that's Jesus. Oh, thank you for saving me. And I'm sure you did other things. I'm just not quite sure what they were. I don't. We don't want to go to that place. But I want you to get the idea. God put something in the earth to start off. He said, this is mine. This belongs to me. There's things that belong to God. You need to learn to know what they are. And you need to treat him in such a manner. There's authority that he gave to you he won't touch. He don't touch man's authority to be saved. Man has the right to decide. God don't touch that. God won't touch your will. Your will's yours. See, there's things we need to understand about relationship in here. This all has to do with our prosperity, how we prosper, understanding our God, understanding our responsibility, understanding his, treating him like God, having a fear of the Lord. He's the big boy. I'm not. He's God. You know, we look in this side and we look and we marvel from a natural. You sing hymns and hymns talk about the creation. Looking at God here in this natural. The spirit realm is a whole nother ball game. This is tiny to that. This side came from that. We act like heaven's this little city you go to. There's so much shallowness in Christianity. We don't understand the bigness of our God. There's one thing is when I learned this, the more I understand him, the more I understand about me. Because the more glorious he looks, I think, oh my God, he puts up with me. Isn't he nice? He's something else. I've considered this. He is the most merciful God. He's wonderful. But see, you get those things. Folks, Those attitudes, you get in the right attitudes. God doesn't bless me based, I don't care, I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but all that He does for me is based in His love for me, not based on my performance or even in fact in my faith. I had no faith if it wouldn't have been for Him. He sent His word, and that's how He said, I only by the word faith came. I didn't develop faith for a standpoint. It was given to me. Now what I want to do with it is up to me. That's my will. But it's given to me. We act like we came to some place of faith. No, I wouldn't have had faith had He not given His word. If God doesn't open up revelation to me, I can't see. I can't see. Glory to God. It's faith in His words. It ain't faith in Ed's words. It's faith in His words. He gave those words. And those words bring faith to me so I can believe. We're going to look at something here today. And I didn't realize till this morning as much as the Lord wanted to go into it. And this is like, you know, one of the things that I, this is one of the things I enjoy about the Lord, is you get to walk by faith. You know, anything that I'm doing, I decided it ain't written in stone. I used to do that. I used to write some. I preached what my notes had, and that's what you did, you know. You just, if God wanted to say something else, well, you know. But you know, you go through those stages. I mean, that's where your security are. You're spiritually a baby. You think you're real smart, but you're actually a baby. There's that in you of like, man, I got to stay on this. What if I don't remember things? What if I don't? And I don't have that here. I know where it is to go like that. I mean, in all honesty, I could get up and leave this at home. But I've learned. He's going to talk to me, and He's going to want to show me things. So I get up this morning, and He showed me some things. He wanted me to know. And for our blessing. I'm going to talk about Abraham, because when we talk about tithing, it shows up the first time in this guy, Abraham. Now, we want to look at that in really perspective, because people say, well, you know, tithing's under the law. We've heard that. Mike talked about it here, you know, a few Sundays ago, you know, about the idea that Abraham tithed and it wasn't the law. Abraham had a covenant like our covenant. Not that we were born again, but it was a covenant of promise. It was not a covenant based on works of the law. And he tithed. Now, I wondered about this because we find out that Jacob made a commitment to the Lord concerning tithing. He did also. So there's twice. Where did this idea come from? Where did this idea come from a man giving a tenth? What did that come from? Well, I'll guarantee you, just as sure as I know that I'm born again, that I know that I'm standing here today in this building, this came from God. This wasn't man's idea. They didn't determine what pleases God. I've learned this. There's things that I thought God would really like, and He didn't. There's God things wanted to me that I thought He'd want it better than that. But He just, this is what I want. So in other words, God gets to make, what makes Him happy, just like you. Don't you want things that make you happy? Well, do we do that? You know, it's like I found out, you know, and from a standpoint of relationship, you have a marriage. One of the greatest problems that you find that I found over the years is people in marriage. It's called selfishness. One is trying to, the one wants, you know, it's more, what they want is more important than the other person. And I found out over time, you know, you want the other person. You see, you want to bless. You bless each other. You have to live over, that's a place you go. Now, when I wasn't saved, I didn't have that. I'm amazed how many people get born again and they never have it. Even in their lives with people, they always think they come first. You know, what I want, this is what I want to do. Well, this is what I like. I found this out. You know, Jesus found pleasure. It says, He looked with joy to go to the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you what. There is no natural thing that would ever bring joy to you to do such a thing. You can find nothing in this world from the standpoint. He was what? Compelled by love, not for anything for Himself. Jesus didn't come for Himself. To Jesus, prospering in life was doing the will of His Father and walking in love for others. That's what it was. It was for the need of other people, not themselves. So if we're going to talk about God being in us, number one, the Holy Spirit in you is going to lead you in the same direction as Jesus. He's going to always do that. He's not going to lead you over to selfishness, self-centeredness. I mean, that's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a spirit that does that many are yielded to. But it's not the Holy Spirit. You see, I found in myself from the standpoint of being born again, when I first got born again and God dealt with me concerning Wanda, He said, "You leave Wanda alone." When I got saved, He said, "Leave her alone. Don't get on her. You can tell her that you got born again and you know, you're walking a different life. You can tell her that, but don't preach to her about it. Don't do that." He said, "Cause she don't trust you." Well, the reason she didn't trust me was very simple. I was selfish and self-centered. I hate that when I see that in Christians. Boy, that turns me off when I see Christians and in their marriage, this is self-centeredness. You know, what I want and what I get. You know, and you see people in that and they say, "I'm a Christian." And you almost say, "Well, come here, let me cast that devil out of you." Because, you know, one of the great things that I find pleasure in is this. It's doing things that Wanda likes to do. You know what? That's pleasurable to me. You've got a problem that if what somebody else, you know, I've run across this. I remember, you know, one time, you know, a husband and wife talking and they had, you know, she'd like to go sometimes to the beach and stuff like, but he didn't like the beach, so they had to go to the mountains all the time. And I, you know, he says, a Christian. I kept my mouth shut, but I almost says, you know, if you got saved, you'd be a different man. See, I don't care if I didn't like the beach. I'd take my wife to the beach because she likes the beach. You know why? I find pleasure in that. I find pleasure in making her happy.
Amen. Preach that one.
Well, likewise, wives. I don't care if there's things you don't like your husband does. Get yourself straightened out. Find pleasure in what the other finds pleasure. You're going to find out that's a beautiful life.
Hallelujah.
That is to find pleasure. You know, I just get pleased because they're happy. Yeah. Say, no, I got to like it too. You know, I don't have to like it.
Amen.
I'm sure Jesus would say, "Oh, Roman soldiers, just beat me again. I just want it one more time." When I believe and look at His suffering, what right do I have to say to what to do to bring pleasure to other people? What I may suffer. And if that's suffering, just, you know, taking a wife someplace you don't like to go. Maybe taking her out to eat or place food that you don't like. Do you always go to the places you like to eat? Wives the same way? And, "Well, I don't like that kind of food." Well, get over yourself. Drink water and eat crackers. I don't know. Just but I do. I find pleasure because it does make me happy. Now, I can tell you, I'm not a great guy. This is what God did. The new birth did this to me. I was never like that. That's why I have a very difficult time understanding many of these say they're born again. I have a really hard time understanding their new birth. I never got one like a lot of people have. I got a new birth that made Ed a different person. And you got to, in life, you got to go over there. See, this is one thing is if you can't love within your own family, your own marriage, forget the outside junk and all that kind of stuff. Forget the trying to get money and doing all, just forget it. It don't matter. What does it matter to have money and your home ain't your castle? Who cares? All you do is build a big house so you have more room to ignore each other. You'll just get more toys to play with so you can be away from each other. My God, he's preaching good today. I will guarantee you, the average Christian couple can't spend a lot of time together with each other. Their toys, their stuff, their work, you know. Lots of guys work because they work. That's their marriage. That's their place. That's their stuff. You can't. Hey, it's good to work. We have that. But it can't be a place where this is where I find my joy. This can't be the place. You can't do that stuff. See, whether we like it or not, this whole thing with Jesus is about other people. And see, if you want to arrive to a place where God can give you anything you ask for, you got to come to this place where, like, God can turn that thing. If He does give you a whole lot of something, that something don't change you.
Amen.
You want to come to that place where that doesn't change what you, that doesn't change the person, that you can have things. Like they used to say, you know, you can have them, they don't have you. That's a pretty good way of putting it. But bottom line, this is about love. It's about love. What about other people? What's my view on them? Do they just annoy me? Do sinners annoy me? Well, I'm going to tell you, when I was a sinner, I was Mr. Annoying. That's who I was. Ain't honey. So you all folks know that she was shaking her head this way. Still, sometimes I get in that place, don't I? Just, yeah. But anyhow, so, but you folks, when I look at people, I think God's love, He didn't quit toward me because of what. You need to get that. Why everybody gets today so upset at the sinner, so upset at what Biden's doing? He's acting like a sinner. Get over yourself. This is about, I can't tell you, anything that hurts me, you know, too much taxes, doing this, is that what's important in life? Are we ready to fight a war? You know, we come up with this thing of the selection, I think, you know, we don't get the right person, we don't have this, we don't have that, don't have that. Men and women are going to hell. You know, Jerry Seville didn't go to Washington, he went down to a motorcycle place and got some guys saved. Well, he didn't go to Washington. He did. What was wrong with him? Didn't he know what was important to get that fixed? It's about getting people fixed. Amen. You don't like the way they are. Do something about getting them fixed. Quit griping about them. He didn't say, oh, those guys, those motorcycles, that's all they want to do is ride their stupid motorcycles. That's all they want to do. you know, what's with these guys? Hallelujah. He went down there. Oh, glory to God. God will lead me back over here to Abraham here, don't I? This is good preaching, though.
Amen. Great preaching.
Because we want to find something out about Abraham, the type of man he was. That's not preached. They always preach him in tithing. Abraham was much more. Much. So far. So far, much more. But we want to look at this because we have in Scripture Abraham. What has taken place? There was a war that took place. Four kings came down and they attacked five other kings that were in the valley area. Now, when we talk about these kings, we're not talking about kings over a nation. These people weren't nations. These were towns. These towns, what they would do is build a walled town. They built a town, something that they could secure. They were people that, you know, in living in those days, it was very important you had a safe place to go. The world is much like today. Safety. See, when sin abounds, safety doesn't. It don't abound. And that's what's going on. These weren't kings over huge armies. They might have had 400 or 500 people, maybe. If you go down, I remember looking, they did the archaeological things to where Sodom was and Gomorrah. They weren't big at all. They were small places. They weren't big. The walled city, some people lived outside of them. They had their farms in the outside. But the city, even people would go to sleep at night. They'd go into the towns because of people, robbers and stuff and things. That was your safety. So they had a king. So when we look at four kings come down, they may have had maybe an army of 1,000 or maybe more, a little more than that, depending on the size of their towns. They probably weren't enormous. These weren't enormous places. But what happens is these four kings come down, they attack the kings of five towns that are in the valley area over from Abraham. Abraham, that's where Lot went down there to live. And so what takes place, they have this battle, and anyhow, the four kings that came down, they won. I assume that they must had, you know, a pretty good sized army compared to others, because the Bible does tell us other places that they went to and won some battles, and then they came there to take this place. So what happens was they come down and they lick these kings and they haul wealth off and they haul people off. They go down here to take them all. So Abraham is going to do something. Abraham, there's a guy comes to Abraham who was down there with that fighting going on, and he came up and told Abraham, and he said, Abraham, he told him about the battle, and he said, they took Lot. Lot was his brother's son, or his nephew. Abraham refers to him as his brother. And really, from the standpoint, he was. He identified him as his brother. Because really, really it honored his brother. He's taking care of, he took care of him and looked after him. And it's his brother. And Abraham goes off to war. Now, he goes off to war. He has 318, it says, trained men. So Abraham had an army that was trained. Abraham didn't go in. You know, Abraham wasn't as, this is what we do. Abraham, he had his little tent set up out there and everything was just nice around him. No, he was just like everybody else who lived in those lands. You need protection. Abraham wasn't a fool. God didn't raise up a fool. He had a 318 men who were well-trained military guys. They could fight. They knew how to do. They knew how to fight. They weren't out there walking around picking up rocks throwing at somebody. They knew how to use weapons. And so Abraham gets his 318 guys together and he says, come on, we're going to deal with this thing. We're going to find out why Abraham went. Abraham did not go about money. He didn't go about anything. He went for one thing, Lot. The Bible tells us in the New Testament about Lot. Now, we always point the finger, Lot down there, he moved down the side. New Testament says he was righteous. So, no matter what preachers have said and done, I'd rather say what God said he was righteous and let's let it alone, folks. God said he's righteous. Your opinion don't count. Don't touch the Lord's stuff. Don't touch the Lord's stuff. Lord said he's righteous. And you know what? He's going concerning. See, they went too far. They took my brother. They're in trouble. This is the righteous. Abraham knows God well enough that God is going to be with him on this thing. You don't touch God's stuff. See, you'll never have a fear of giving or doing anything when you know how God views you. People don't. That's why they hold on to things and they do stuff is because they think they got to. Nobody else is looking. I got to look out for number one, you know. I got to look out for me. No, there's one who looks out for me, who's greater than all. Oh, he is so much greater than all. So what we're looking at is the event here that took place is Abraham comes back. Abraham goes up, whips the four kings. You know God's in this thing. He has a much smaller army. I mean, these guys were good enough to take on five kings and lick them. This is a supernatural event that took place. Abraham went up there with 318 guys, and we don't know that he lost a man. So this is like, this is pretty miraculous. This is, why? Abraham, he's following God. But you're going to find out why God dealt with him the way that he was. It's a way that you need to understand and learn to walk in. Now, his first thing when he came back, it says this. He came back. It says in Genesis, the 14th chapter, we're going to read there, Genesis 14. And it says this. And he said, the king of Sodom went out to meet him. This is Abraham at the valley of Shev. And he said, that is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat. And it's, you know, this big long name of this guy. This is one of the kings there. This one of these kings. There was actually three others. He says, and they were with him. So in other words, he defeated these kings. And the kings were, and it says, and the kings were with him. So when he says this, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Now, I want you to see this. Melchizedek comes out. Now, we know this because of what's going to take a man. Abraham had to know this guy. This isn't anybody walked out. This is not just known. We know this. People say a lot of things about, well, this was the... I've heard ministers say they believe this was the Old Testament, you know, a type of... He was Christ, you know, in the Old Testament. Well, that couldn't be because the Bible says he was a man. So God was already in the earth as a man. No, that wasn't so. That didn't happen. He is a man. Because we're going to talk about what people say. Today we won't be able to get into it, but we'll get into these things when we deal with this. Because Abraham's out. This guy, Melchizedek. Isn't it interesting that he comes out with bread and wine? They're the elements of communion. See, the elements of communion are not something just New Testament. Many times that was used in dealing with covenant. That was used. Bread and wine. Now, but we need to understand, he comes out. Here, he is up the priest of the most, he's the priest of the Most High God. Now it says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. Now he was Abram at that time. He wasn't called Abraham. He was still Abram. This was before God made his covenant, gave him a covenant name. He said, Abram of God Most High. What did he say? Melchizedek says Abraham is Abram of God Most High. So we sort of get a picture of Abraham here. Abraham, he's the Abram of God Most High. Melchizedek said so. Melchizedek said, this is Abram of God Most High. Now, we know this, if he's priest of the God Most High, this isn't God in manifestation in him. He's not God. He wouldn't. If this is God, if this was Jesus in manifestation, Jesus would be God at this time. He would be the Godhead. But it says, so this Melchizedek is not sometimes what people say. And we need to understand, because as we go on and find out, you're going to find out that God had other priests in the earth and that God had other prophets in the earth before this time. I know it's going to be hard for people to take, because I don't know. I'm just sort of nosy about the Bible. I read things and things aren't explained. I want to find out. Everybody just sort of passes by as it goes on. I think, you know, we know so little about some of the things during these times in the Bible. And you need to know them because you ought to start to understand how God operates and works. You know, everybody acts like God wasn't doing nothing to the earth until Abraham showed up. God chose a man to do as fulfill a certain thing and to bring certain things to pass. That doesn't mean God wasn't dealing with people on earth. Do you realize that Shem was alive at this time? Shem lived 500 years past the flood. He was alive in Abraham's day. Shem. Noah's son. See, it's one of the people, how you know that people know about things? They had people firsthand, 500 years past the flood, somebody firsthand knew what happened on the other side. He's living in the earth. He was here 500 years. See, things were different on the other side than they are on this side. People were different on that side than on this side. People don't talk about that either. The church knows so little about the Bible, it amazes me. There's things they just don't get interested looking at. It's like me, I want to know. What was going on? Why would God say things and just wander off and never say anything again? And I found out, well, he does say things that we just never look to find out if he said something. We have our ideas about things. But anyhow, this Melchizedek, he is the priest. Abraham recognizes him at that. This ain't a guy that just showed up, happened to be that day. He happened to be around. He's recognized among, it seems, that everybody around. That they know this guy's a priest of God. You know? They act like this is a guy just showed up for Abraham. Why? The other kings are there. They see him. They don't say, who's this guy? We don't have none of that going on. Why? Everybody knows he's a priest of God. He's a priest of God. Now, see, just like today, we can have priests of God. We can have people of God around, but that doesn't mean even Christians are going to live right. Sodom and Gomorrah don't live right. It ain't because they didn't know the priest of God. They just didn't follow. They weren't following what they were supposed to. But it goes on, and it goes on and says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your hands from your enemies. And he gave him a tithe of all. So of everything that he got. Now understand this. We need to understand how much Abraham got. Abraham bought back everything that they took from them, plus he got what their stuff was. So Abraham ain't coming back just with the stuff from them. Abraham's coming back with a lot of stuff. He's got their stuff and the stuff that they took and the people that they took. He's coming back with all of that. So he comes back, and what he does is he comes back. First of all, Abraham recognizes this, that God is the one who's helping him. This is the why he tithed. He gave to the priest. This is a recognition of what God did. We give. And that needs, you know what? If you're living a blessed life, and but you ain't being a blessing toward God, you're a downright hypocrite to run around and say, oh, God's good and this and that. We need to understand this. You need to live a life to know that my life's blessed because God blessed me. That's the bottom line on it. It wasn't by Ed's great wisdom and understanding and my great knowledge and I'm just so smart and I've done this and I've done that. My life's blessed because, see, I lived that life on the other side. I know this. You know what I found out? It's very hard. Christians who get saved young, lots of times I find out as they get older, many of them are not as cool about God. See, I know what life is without God. And they don't know. And you know what? They become ungrateful and unthankful. They become rude and crude to other people, you know, out here as sinners. See, I know what is on the other side. I'll tell you what, I just appreciate the Lord saved me because I needed saved. Some people lose the track that they needed saved. Somehow they think they came to, you know, I was somehow better than the other. Thank God He delivered me. I've watched that with people already that they get a, you know, I had a woman tell me one time, she said, because I had given my testimony at a Full Gospel Businessman meeting, and this woman said, you know, I don't have much of a testimony. I never lived a really bad life like that, and I never did those kind of things. And I said, you're worse off than I was. And she looked at me. I said, you think somehow you were good? I said, you needed saving as much as me. You were on your way to hell. I said, you think you were good? I said, get a life. See, they're the worst of the people. I wasn't quite as bad. See, I wasn't as bad as Mike. Thank God, that heathen. He needed saved, I'll tell you. You see, this is what religion will do. And you'll develop, I don't care if you sit under truth. You build your own religion and after a while you'll see yourself as, you're righteous because you're righteous. You're something because you're something, man, I'll tell you. And you lose that there, you lose that humility as a, I'm where I am because God brought me. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't deal with that, you're going to have, I'll tell you, the devil's going to have open doors to do things to you. And he'll have open doors. You've got to keep yourself straight in these areas. You got to keep yourself, you can't get over in that area, play in that place of your own self-worth and your own, I am who I am because of him. Amen. I know what I was before him. If I could have done any of what I've done to him, I would have done it. And I'm on this side. And I look back and I say, man, I don't recognize that man back there. I don't recognize him. I don't recognize that guy. Who is he? Well, he's dead. He's dead. The guy that's alive today, it's all because of Jesus. He's because of Jesus. Any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. He ain't a cleaned up sinner.
That's right. That's right.
He became new. Hallelujah. So any good that comes from this. But I want you to see this about that. He tithed. But I want to read to you a scripture here from it on here because I want to read you about Abraham. You'll find out about Abraham. It said now the, in verse 21 of that, it says, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Now we talk about, well, he tithed here. Let's look what he did in this thing. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. You see his vision of God, who he is? A lot of Christians don't see God like that. Is God the possessor of heaven and earth? Do you think does his position change? Well, see, I need to get, there's certain things about God you need to hold him in reverence of. And if you don't, see, I love what Abraham did because he said, I've raised my hand to the Lord. I have. In other words, I personally have declared this. This is how I view my God. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. That's my God. He is. This is the guy. Well, he makes his statement and he says, Now this is what I declared before. Now look at this declaration. Would you go as far as Abraham? Abraham's not born again. And he makes a declaration that most Christians would choke on today to say it. He said that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Abraham did not give just a tithe. He gave the tithe to the priest, but he didn't turn around. He gave it all away. He said, my God's a God, a possessor of earth. I ain't letting no man sit around and say, hey, I did this for him. See, you know, there's some time in some people's money you should never take. Now, there's maybe 10% of preachers that are like that. And I'm serious. They think every time something comes, I've turned money down from people already. Because I know they wanted a part of me. See, we do this. It's just like, you know, we talk about, what do we do? Say, let's say like this. We have politicians running right now for offices and stuff. What is the purpose that we give them money? There's something we want of them. That ain't a gift. You can call it whatever you like. But there's something you expect out of it. There's nothing matter that. You did? Okay, you want money? I expect this. But we ain't taught, this ain't gift and giving. That ain't what it is. Because this is the thing I expect out of that person to do for me in this. You see, we have to have a giving life. We have to have this giving life that we live. It can't run on that. It can't run on an expectation of what somebody can do to me. Or say, I'll give this person money. I see people do this all the time. And, you know, the Lord dealt with me years ago about this with people. You know, they give somebody, they say, here's a gift. We gave them a present. Well, they just blew it. They didn't use the thing right and they didn't. Well, I ain't going to give them another one. Well, you never gave that one. You still had your hand on that possession. It still belonged to you and you wanted to control what was done with it.
Amen.
That wasn't a gift. See, this is where giving gets to be a hard thing. How do you give to a God when you can't see? When you're over here, the people you can see, you don't know if you're, your attitude toward giving. Because we're going to talk, as we go through this in our teaching, you're going to find that our tithing is different. We're not tithing to a man on the earth. Now, Jesus Christ is a God-man. But we're not tithing to men on earth. We're not giving in a tithe to a man on earth. We don't do, and you need to get that in your mind. You need to get that. People do what they do, not because God tells them to. They do what they, I'll give to what I like. I'll give to win on it. All of these things. We know nothing. Abraham says, I had a guy one time, this is years ago, it was a guy in a church, and I've talked about this before. He was the largest giver in the church, and he gave good offerings and that stuff. He had a business and stuff, gave good offerings. But he wanted to buy me with his offerings. He came to me and made a statement about a thing. And I said to him, you know what you're... I just basically bluntly told him, you're out of line. And he said to me, if I leave, my money goes with me. I said, you're going to leave. Because I said, I'm coming into church. If you're there Sunday morning, I'm going to stand up and tell the people what you did. What you told me and said to me. I said, you'll leave. He said, this guy wasn't a baby Christian, but he's used to buying, manipulating people. He was used to it. Well, I talked to a pastor of a church. He had about 3,000 people and talked to him about this guy and what he did. And you know what? This guy went to that church and he took him in and gave him a position. Money talks. In Christianity, money talks more than God does in the church. Money has a bigger voice than God has. And you know what? Everybody says, that's a really good church. That's what they said to Laodicea. It was a good church. You see, there's a lot to see people don't see nor know or do. So that's one thing around. It's like people, man, I've been around ministry now for a long time. And being around ministry for a long time, I've seen a lot I wish I'd have never seen. I've heard from ministers a lot of things I wish I'd have never heard. There's just a lot of things out there. But it comes down to this, you know. Who are you promoting? What do you want? What are you doing? What is it? What is this? Attitudes. The Lord told me years ago, when a young Christian, he said, attitude's everything. You can be doing the right thing, wrong attitude. You get to heaven. You're not going to be receive reward in everything you think you'll accomplish. It's everything that you had a right attitude about. That you didn't do for you. Reward's going to come. It isn't I can get up to heaven and say, boy, Jesus, do you see the good job? Do you see how wonderful I was down there? Wow. My God, was I good. I'll tell you. I can just say to anybody, people say, I don't care what I see and understand the word. It's given to me. It has to be given to me. I'll just tell naturally. And this is where people need to get it. You're not as smart naturally as you might think you are. Thank God. If the Holy Spirit don't open the Word and reveal it, that's it. What I've gotten from the Bible, I got by the grace of God given to me. And I am not smart. I'm not intelligent. Things that I'm talking to you here about, I didn't get these things from studying the Word. I found them in the Word after the Lord talked to me about these things. But they were given to me. I wouldn't have known where to look or what to do. I would not have known. How much time would you have to spend to study to find some of these things out? Do you spend a lifetime just trying to find some of these things? But we have the Holy Ghost. But this Abraham, I admire him. He's not going to take anything. He said, you're not going to say that you made Abram rich. You're not going to get the chance to say that. Well, did Abraham get wealthy? Did he do good? He did fine. But it's what God brought to him. It wasn't something out here. See, he looked at certain things. I went out here and did this. God anointed me, and I went out here with these guys. We took these guys down here. He went out there for a purpose. He didn't go for money. He didn't go out there and say, well, I'm going to go out there and get that stuff, man. Wasn't about the stuff. He wasn't interested in the stuff. He comes back. Ain't about the stuff. It was about a person. See, God would move to save one man. God's in the business. See, God, Abraham's heart's like God. You don't let the wicked destroy the righteous. Not like the church today. The church will let the wicked destroy the righteous and help them. They want to do what they want to do and how they want to do it. Don't get in my way with this God stuff. Don't get in front of this. But I want you to grab a hold of that, to be able to see that. Abraham is called the father of faith, the New Testament. Now, I want to say that if Paul would call the guy the father of faith, I want you to think about this once. Wouldn't you think we would sort of do what he did? See, people say, tithing isn't for today. Well, my father of faith did it. He did it without the law. He made a commitment to God that he wasn't going to take people's stuff, that God was going to bless him. He ain't going to let a man walk around and say, I made you rich. You find those people ain't going to ever say that. They would never say that. No, whoever can give me money, I'm taking it. Wherever I can get it, we're going to get it. people today, well, would you give away all? I'm going to tell you what, there had to be a lot of stuff there. Had to be a lot of stuff. Now you go in and ransack, you know, four towns that are walled towns. You go in and get to ransack them and take all the good stuff out. I mean, there's got to be some stuff there. And Abraham brings it all back and more. But see, Abraham's interest, his whole interest, this whole thing that went on here, Abraham just sort of viewed it. This is these people and their stuff. I got the guy out that God wanted out. Now, I'm going to go back over and me and God are going to live together, okay? See, there's an attitude there. You know, you don't want anything that takes away you away from your fellowship with God. Hey, whatever is glittering out there can really be an enticing thing. It can really be enticing, what seems to be glittering. But I've found this over the years. Those are the things that end up taking people away from their fellowship with God. There's things that you say, you know, that's great. It's not even a bad thing. But I could see where that would stand between me and my fellowship with God. I'm sorry. You can offer it to me, but I can't take it. Why? You ain't going to say you made me rich. I'm going with God. You're going to have to do it in your Christian life. You're going to have to say sometime to good people, I can't go along with you. Because the direction you want, I just can't go there. I have to go here. This, my fellowship with God is more important to me than you. Now, I know that's hard to figure out for people. That's a tough one. God more important? What did Jesus say? If your mother or father, your son or your daughter means more to you than me, you ain't worthy of me. If most spirit-filled Christians ever sat down and thought that out for 10 seconds, a lot of misplaced love. You know what? Until you understand and walk in the love of God and walk in with Him in fellowship, you'll never love those ones like you're supposed to. See, that's what I found out. When I hooked up with Jesus, He changed how I love my wife. And it wasn't something me walking around saying, honey, I love you. She said, I'm living with a different man. God changed me. You can do all the Valentine things you want and all that stuff. Because you know what? There's 364 other days to make them puke because they can't stand to live with you. That day is fine to celebrate. But if you don't do it the rest of the days, who cares? Keep your money in your pocket because you will need it. You will need that money, I'm sure. Because the devil's going to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Don't spend it on that big dinner. You'll probably have to pay a fine with it or something. Do something dumb. Oh, there's nothing wrong. Hey, celebrate it if it's true, but don't lie about it. Don't make it a day of lies. Don't say, honey, I love you. And the rest of the week is like, oh my God. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. Hey, this is prosperity, folks. Amen. This is prosperity. See, piles of money can't take this. There's a piece and there's a thing about all of this that you can't buy it. There's no way to get it. And it's tied, you know, on our side, we're to love the unlovely. See, I can't love my wife because I think she does everything I want. That isn't why I love her. Why? Because, see, my master took ugly Edion, who had nothing good to offer. Who am I not to love the unlovely? I'm not saying that's easy. Do you think it was easy for it? Was it easy for Jesus to go to the cross? Was it easy to take the sin? Was it easy to go into hell and pay the punishment for our sin? And all I got to do is love people here that might not make me happy. Oh boy, Ed, you sure do suffer so. You poor thing, having to put up with Wanda. I'll tell you. She puts up with me, you know. That's what love puts up with stuff. It does. And it, you know, it don't squall and bawl. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Isn't this fun? You know, I like this because, number one, this kind of stuff makes me judge myself, and we need to. If you want to be blessed, you got to judge yourself on things. We have to. Amen. You judge yourself, you get into line with things. Why? Blessing!
Amen.
You know? Be the people that run out and go to another church because they didn't like the message because it dealt with them. So they run to another church so I can go hide and live under the curse some more. And then when it won't work out for them, and they call and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Well, what for? You know, you followed God over that other place when you didn't want to hear the message here. See, we can get you delivered anyhow till you repent. Understand, I got to listen to these messages too. Well, it is. It's true. You folks don't... Do you know what? Every Sunday, almost always on Sunday, sometimes I wait till Monday, every Sunday I go home and listen to my message. See, I'm more interested in what I say than most of you are. I'm being honest. Don't I wonder? I go home and listen to it. Wow, I get revelation. I preach, I see things that I know. It wasn't on me and it wasn't in the notes. I said, well, what was it? What was it? Things I need to hear. God talks to me in these things. Randy Greer does this all the time. He said, I'm going to preach a message this morning. And he said, it's for me, but I'm going to let you listen to it while I talk. Because sometimes I can see God's going to talk to me in this thing. See, you might have thought these preachers preach this stuff because they're just all this greatness. Don't ever think it. Some of them need the message twice as much as the congregation. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we did. I won't go over to it, but if you read it in Genesis 28, you'll find out that Jacob's told God that he was going to, if God, this was at Bethel. After he went out, he saw the ladder to heaven. He woke up the next morning. He said, God, he said, if you bless me and do these, I'm going to cut around. I'm going to give you a tenth. Here he comes up with a tenth thing. I'm going to give you a tenth. So there's something God has moved in this thing. And again, it was before the law. But I want to go over, and as we want to look at this, in Malachi. Because in Malachi, the third chapter, I want you to see this today. We're going to look at this because of is looking at tithe. I've taught on these things before, but by the things we've just said here, we need to understand when people make the statement and say, well, tithing is under the law. Well, you need to understand what we don't tithe under the law. And if you're tithing under the law, then you would be you're a legalist probably anyhow. And you're not going to get, this is not the thing of blessing. It's not where it's at. It's tithing, it's to doing. Now, in Malachi, the third chapter, I'm going to start at verse 7 in reading. Starting up at verse 7, and we're going to read from 7 through 12 as we go through this. But it says, in verse 7 of Malachi 3, it says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now, I want you to understand this. Israel at this time, they have a temple. And they're playing church. They're going through the motions of things. They have a temple. They do stuff. But they're not doing it like God required. They're not doing that. That's not what they're doing. What does God require? Just like today. You can go to church. Never do what God requires. You'll never do. You know. We can sing songs, but our heart is in them. Think about lunch. You know, what's going on to do afterwards? Hey, it doesn't matter if lunch. I like lunch after church. I mean, I enjoy it. You know, there's nothing about lunch. But, you know, what are we doing? Are we worshiping God from our heart? Are we, what's our purpose for church? You think, God's up there just marking up points to me because I went to church this week. You know, just, hey, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. Those bad people don't go to church. There's a lot of bad people in churches, let me tell you. There's a lot of terrible people in churches. But see, they wouldn't look at themselves because I haven't killed anybody lately. I haven't done anything like I'm really nice. But they have murdered with their mouth. They have done more evil stuff in a little bit. And they've done those things. And they come into God before Him. And they'll sing a song. And they're stenched in His nostrils. You know? So, but anyhow. So, these people, understand this. God said they've forsaken Him. And what's their answer to Him? How have we left you? See, here's blindness. People get over, you get over in areas and you don't even know how you don't even know you missed it and you missed it. See, that's the church at Laodicea. Jesus is at the door knocking. He ain't even in. He's knocking. He said, whoever opens the door, anybody in there would like me, I'll fellowship with them. Anybody in there? But he said, they have to return. Understand this. I've heard lately, they keep preaching about the prodigal son. And they talk like God went after this guy. God never went after him till he returned. Till he left the pig pen. If you still want to stay in the pig pen, God will call you from the pig pen. But he will not come to you till you come out of the pig pen. It's just like with these people. This is God's covenant people. He said, you have to return to me. And when you do, then what happens? He tells them. and I will return to you. See, God doesn't force His will on you. You got to set your will toward Him. This is a thing. This is why people say, well, you know, tithing and things is under the law, and they throw this. You don't understand what's going on. We live in the areas of faith. We live in this place where, you know, God lives in us. My God. God lives in us. The Bible says, draw nearer to God. He'll draw nearer to you. It don't say God will draw nearer to you to try to get you to draw near to Him. Don't say that. You draw near to God, God draws near to you. See, you have a will. You decide. See, many are priests. Oh, God, get in the middle of my stuff to help me this. And they've never drawn near to Him. They've just called at Him from the pig pen and said, hey, come, deal with this stuff for me. You know, I like this pig pen, but you could clean up the edges at least a little bit. Don't make it so bad with me. You know. No, you got to come out. So I'm going to draw near to Him. And that's what you want to do. This is really the life of faith. God is trying, because you know Israel's not doing that. Israel is trying to please God through the law. This is what they're doing. But they're not even following the law. They're not even doing that. He said, well, how do you do that? He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You robbed God. In other words, God is saying here, we see the principle in the garden. God says, there's certain things belong to me. Certain stuff's mine. You guys, I've given you everything. I've given you a land. I've done all this out here for you. And what little part I ask, this is mine. He said, I was like a Tony Cook was an instructor at Rhema, but also was an associate pastor of Rhema Bible Church. But he taught grace. Excellent course on grace. One of the best things, I've read books and stuff, but his course in teaching in grace was absolutely really great. But Tony said this. He said, if people live better under law than grace, that's a disgrace. And let me say this. If they gave more money under law than a Christian does in grace, that's a disgrace. That is a disgrace. Woo-hoo! See, when people say, well, we don't tithe, what they're trying to... I've never met a person who wasn't a tightwad and said that kind of stuff. They're always trying to hold... And even with this, now I want you to think about this. Now, I don't know how you do it, but you know, I've had people over the years say, well, do you tithe off the net or the gross? And I just, well, what do you want to keep? This is what's about... You're not asking me. The only reason you're asking me this question, you don't feel. You want me to say you can get away with something. Your conscience is bothering you, or you would not have come.
Amen.
Number one, I ain't giving more to the government than I give to God. Let's get it straight, folks. Who is my God? Well, many people, it's who what you pay homage to. Who do you pay homage to the most? I don't even think twice. God, I don't care what the government takes. I will still give more to God. The government takes a good chunk, but I give a big chunk away. Hallelujah! Da, 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 da. Why? They ain't my God. I ain't waiting for them to bless me. That's why when we did get back from taxes, they said, it's mine, but I said, we're going to give that away. Me and Abraham are on the same team. I ain't letting the government say they made Ed rich. I ain't saying you have to do that. That's just me. But see, you want to get yourself over in your mind and over in your thinking and your area. See, number one, I think about from the standpoint of being blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. God is not speaking to Israel in this manner. He said, you guys have a problem because you're under a curse. And as a nation they were, they're in bad trouble as a nation. He said, this is on you because you take what belongs to me. Why? Opens the door to the curse. Even though we need to understand this. This is why I give them by faith. If we don't walk by faith, I'll tell you one thing. If you don't, the curse will come and find you. The devil will come. We walk by faith. Why? That's our protection. That's our place where we walk. I'm walking in faith with God. That's my protection. That's my place. The guaranteed. The devil can't just come in, run in, and do any old thing he wants to do anytime. See, we want to live in this place as a faith. And this is what we want to look at here. And this one says, you're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this nation. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. He said that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you, she said, such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, he's talking about tithe, but he also talked to them about, he said, about offering. Now, he said, concerning there's food on my table, is number one, we need to understand what the tithe was about under the law. The tithe was given. The tithe took care of the Levitical priesthood. All the Levites. The Levites were taken care of through the tithe. In other words, when the tithes and stuff were brought in, and even offerings. Now, offerings, he's not talking about just like another offering. They had to bring in, they would bring in sheep, they would bring in cattle, and different things. They were used for sacrifices. Also, some of those sacrifices, parts of the sacrifice of the meat was given for the priests and things, the Levites to eat. It was a food. When the Levites, when that stuff wasn't there, when the tithe wasn't given, they had to go back and work and make a living. So, understand, God established something. Twice a day in morning, which would actually be, the morning would be like 9 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there were sacrifices given at the temple. Those sacrifices were given. That's what kept Israel out of the curse. Sacrifices for their sins were going up. Sacrifices, giving God what he wanted. God established a sacrificial system of what he wanted to protect Israel. And Israel is stealing it from him. Now let me tell you about the tithe. Let's talk about the tithe. Most Christians don't know a thing about the tithe. The tithe was a tenth, and it wasn't just at one time. There was a tithe that they would do every 3 years, the one tithe. In other words, there's 1 year, they gave 20%. They gave a tithe, and that would go to the widows and orphans and some other stuff. Woo, 20% in 1 year? Is God that big? Could he really, if I gave 20%, could God really bless me? Well, there was other stuff. But anyhow, if you go through all their things of what they did. Now, what about if you withheld the tithe? You know you were allowed to. You could withhold the tithe, but you were required to pay. You might say, maybe somebody's in a tough position and they say, well, you know, maybe I could use that for something that there, maybe that grain, I could sell that off right now and get some money to do this or do that. I could do it. But when you decided you were going to tithe, you have to add a fifth to it. God charged you. Why? It was his. He had a right to charge you for it. Man, people complain today about giving a tenth. But there's more to it. If you had, you know, you had to bring a sheep in. When you had to bring that sheep in, okay, you, that had to be a choice sheep. And if you gave that sheep and you decided you, I want to trade it off for another one. I want to give another one instead of that one. Well, they found it out on you. You know what you had to do? You had to give that sheep and the one you were going to replace it with. You had to give them both. God didn't mess with people. Isn't this fun? Now, this is under the law. You see, God should not have to require of us to give. It should be our nature. You need to check your nature if you're having a hard time. When you think about giving, it becomes a hard, something hard. Because see, that's one thing, that's a thing that marveled me, and you've heard me say this many times. The greatest thing that ever marveled me when I got saved was this desire that I got right away to want to give. I thought that was the strangest thing, because that wasn't in my nature. Okay, get somebody to say, well, you know, this is the way I was raised. Hey, look, I raised me and you raised you. Get over it. You weren't two years. I don't care what happened to you. You're out on your own now for how many years, and if you're still a knucklehead following what was wrong, that's your fault. You're a mess. Let's get down to where the real... You've done it. I'm old enough to make a change. I can't blame mom and dad. I can't blame how I'm raised. Hallelujah. God's my father. You want to knock him? Say, Dad, you didn't do a good job. You just... What am I going to do? I'm knocking it. Hallelujah. But he raised us good. But I want you to get a hold of this, These people are in this trouble. They have gotten around. Why? Because things are, God has required a thing of worship. It is not at that temple. It's not about big-headed God needs something. He don't need a thing. He's in heaven doing fine. All that done down there was so the people could be blessed. And they said, well, we're not going to do it. We want to do something else. Well, it's the same way now under our covenant. It isn't. We talk about law. Do you think there's God things that God don't require? I mean, you need another dip. Jesus said, if you don't keep my words, you don't love me. Seemed like a requirement there. We don't sing songs that I love you and, you know, and we don't want to follow the word. He don't fall for that, you know. It's like a person don't do evil to him and say, but I love you. How far will that one go? Not far. Well, he went on. They have a curse problem. He said, you bring all your tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Tommy says, Lord, says the Lord of hosts, I will not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing for you, such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will come, will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this was concerning. I want you to get this concerning the law. Now, we don't follow it. We're people of faith. We need to understand that our covenant is different than theirs. Their covenant, they had to do these things to be blessed. I do not give to be blessed. Now, you need to understand this. When we started off and they started teaching the subject, they did it on a childhood stage. They said, you know, you give some money, God will bless you. And they taught it from that standpoint. And this is what the Lord told me back in 2014. He said, the preachers loved this because they would tell the people, you got to give to be blessed. And he said, it made good offerings for them. But they never took the people beyond. And he said, they just kept people at that stage. You just got to keep giving. You just got to keep. And people are giving for all the wrong reasons. You know, when you're a baby, you can get away with a lot of things. When I was a baby Christian, I sure didn't know what I know today about this thing. See, people don't teach. You know, when I got over and listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, he talked about you're blessed and you're given. I got the revelation that I am blessed. I'm not giving to be blessed. I'm giving because I'm blessed. We're giving. We're blessed people. God's already blessed. I mean, if we, you know, under the law, but, you know, in Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everything that God has from a blessing of humanity, he has given. This is the wonder in Christ. This is the life of faith. Now I live. I don't give to get. I give because I'm blessed. See, I never think anymore about, well, I need to give to get this. No, I give because I am blessed. Blessing will come to me. Blessing will come. It's the covenant. Now, that wasn't for them. And people say, well, we don't give under the law. But what is it? What are you doing? I find these same people are very legalistic in many things that they do. They don't live like they're blessed. They don't give like they're blessed. They give like, you know, I got to hold on to some money so I can get something. I have to tithe. Well, you don't have to tithe. You don't have to do nothing. But rot's a ruck on the day you call on God and he don't answer you. See, those things will happen to people. And they happen. Just like the Lord told me back in 21. He said, they'll call on me. And I knew he was talking basically about the church. They'll call on me and I won't answer. Now, that doesn't mean every Christian. But there's many Christians that need help and ain't going to get answers from God because they have set out and played their games a long time. God has been reaching out and reaching out. And then they get it up to their necks and it's like, God help. Say, no. You need to stay and stew in your place till I'm satisfied that you're ready to change. See, many people want God's help without them changing. I found out this with God. There's many times I had to make shifts and changes in my life so he could do certain things. This life of faith is a wonderful place. Now, number one, God's not going to rebuke the devourer for you. That's already done in Christ Jesus. Satan is defeated. See, they didn't have that. They didn't have authority over Satan. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. Don't ask God to... See, I've heard ministers still preach that. Oh, God will rebuke the devourer for you. I'm sorry, you have authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. You don't... I don't give to get the rebuke, the devourer. But I'm already blessed. I'm not under the curse. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
You know, Galatians. And the script, Galatians 3 and verse 8, it says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham before saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Well, didn't we read about we're blessed with every spiritual blessing? In Abraham, it says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I'm blessed with believing Abraham. Isn't that easy? Here we got Abraham again. Why are we doing this blessed with Abraham? What was Abraham, the tightwad, wooden tithe? Abraham couldn't stop and say, I don't have to tithe because it ain't under, that's in the law. Law was never given. They didn't know nothing about the law. If I'm blessed with Abraham, I'm going to act like him. I got blessed with Abraham. I didn't get blessed because of him. I got blessed because faithful Abraham. So did you. Hallelujah. I've learned this in my Christian life. There's a lot of blessing that I have in my life. It's because of people that walk before me. It wasn't my great intelligence or my great wisdom. People walked before me, sought God, got wisdom, and were nice enough to pass it down to it. Kind enough to give us some of that blessing. He goes, for as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. So see, we're not doing the blessing. The blessing does not become because of the standpoint of works. We're still over in the areas of faith. What do you believe? Do you believe you're blessed with Abraham? Or are you trying to get blessed? Do you ever really read these scriptures to see what they're saying? It says you're blessed. I'm not trying to get blessed from God. I am blessed. What I need, all I got to do is say it.
Amen.
Whatever I need. You know, I don't go down. I don't go into any intercession when if I go to the bank to get money. I don't lay on my face and cry. I don't miss two meals. I don't do none of that. I don't do any of those kind of things. I just go down to the bank and say, this is what was deposited in there. I want some of that out. And you know what? They don't on the other side. They don't, you know, say, well, you know, if you pray and you seek God, and we'll get... They don't do that. Well, see, when people waste their time. They go over. Number one, they treat like they got to twist God's arm to get it from Him. And so they go and they start through their religious prayers. They start. And you know, like they're trying to get God to do something. They're trying to get God to bless them. Do you realize what a sort of a slap in the face to see? As young Christians, I did that kind of thing, you know, at first. And I come along, you know, because I didn't know any better. But you know, when I found out I'm blessed, when I go to God, I say, well, God, I need such and such. And I just want to thank you for giving that to me. I just appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Why? It's on my account. I'm blessed. I don't have to lay on my face and fast and pray to try to get it. I don't have to go some rigmarole. See, this is a life of faith. This is what faith is. If people would spend time praying on what needed prayed for and wasting their time on all the things that don't need prayed for that amounts to nothing, life would change. The devourer's rebuke. I can say this. Like Kenneth Hagin said, the Lord told him. He said, you rebuke the devil concerning you. You tell him to get his hands off your money. You do it. God ain't going to rebuke the devourer. If you ain't going to do nothing about it, tough. That's your problem. You know. It's just like in the natural. Would you call somebody? You live in your house, you know. Come over and wake me up in the morning. You know. Say, by the Lord, clock you knucklehead, do something. Hey, you have authority over, do something. Don't ask me to come over. See, a lot of Christians today, they say they're doing this stuff for people. They're doing all kinds of things for people. They think they're really helping them out. They don't say no. You do it yourself. You said you're a Christian. Let's see. Say, if you don't know what to do, you ready to sit under teaching? No, you just wave the magic prayer wand for me and it'll get fixed. And I'll just go back and live my dirty life again. And they think, I'm just so wonderful. I'm just, what a peach. More the pit. No, you require, God requires something of you and me. Why don't we require things of people? Why? Because we don't have, we're Americans. And American Christianity is take care of everybody. We don't wait them to run to us. We run to them. We see they have a problem. We run to them. Let's bail them out. While God sits there and watches this goes on and thinks, you know, they're under a curse. No, require something. That's one thing I was always thankful at Rhema. We had courses on counseling. They said, you ever counsel people, you give them something to do. The next time you come back, you ask them if they did it and they didn't do it, you don't want to counsel them anymore, you're done. I found this out. When people learn that, they mostly never want counseling. Something's required of me? Hold it! You've got to be kidding! I've just come to you and I get all the answers and you wave the wand. You know, don't you know that? See, now, if you ain't going to do something, it's like, I tell people all the time, they say, I need help, I need answers. I say, hey, good. I said, I'm anointed on Sunday mornings, come into church. Well, I can't go, and I just don't. I say, well, okay, goodbye. There's no wishbone on for that. We ain't going beyond that. Why? If you don't want to change, what's the point? I want to hold special services just for you because you're lazy and you don't want. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have special services. No, you won't. I have a special service, costs you $1,000. Well, that's short run. Then they hang up. See, a lot of people, there's so much crazy going on out here. Hallelujah. Well, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, amen, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What's this for? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's two things that are talked about. The blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham in his day? Number one, God blessed him financially. He said, why was this? You were redeemed from the curse so you could get blessed like Abraham got blessed. That Abraham would say, you know what? I don't have to worry, look at the world to turn me. I don't have to look at the government to make a living for me. I don't have to look. God, He's the God Most High. And I made a commitment to Him. I ain't going to let anybody say that they made me rich. I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to be like my father of faith. I'm going to act just like Him. Hallelujah. And God, hey, I am promised the blessing. Is God gonna lie about the promise? I'm blessed with faith. And I also, well, see, I know that one's gonna work because I got the Spirit. If I got the Spirit, the other one has to work. God didn't say, well, you got one out of two, you ought to be glad. Hey, I did one of them! He put the blessing of Abraham first. Abraham was blessed and a blessing to the nations. That's what we should want to do. We should want to arise to the place where we're not just a blessing, our lives blessed. We're a blessing to nations. We're a blessing to the world. We're a blessing to the whole thing. That means you might need more than what you need. It isn't about you getting your needs met. To me, it's about getting other needs met outside of me. That's what giving is about. Giving is going beyond me. You've got to go there. It has to. It is. It's not about, well, I got a good life, nice, and I got this, and I have this, and I have a good job, and I got this stuff out here. And they say, yeah, this is really great. Well, where's your vision beyond that? Where's your vision at beyond there and the blessing? Where does it go? Is there anything outside that than just that thing here? See, it's got to be something more than that. It has to be something more. It has to be outside.
Thank you, Lord.
We've missed on so many things. Is one of the things I see, and even from the giving in the church world today. Christopher Lahm wrote a book years ago, and the book he wrote about, because him ministering in Africa and Asia and different places that he ministers, he said the church world today is not, actually out in the world, isn't preaching the gospel. He said all they're doing is feeding people. Because he said you can get, he said if you show people a person poor or say somebody's hungry, the church will flood money. But he said to preach the gospel, they won't do it. Why? Because most of the church is carnal. They don't see man's spiritual need. They don't see the real need. All they see is the belly. Hey, it's nice to feed people. But I'm going to tell you what. We're feeding people off into hell. We're letting them stay in their religions. We're letting them stay into their stuff. And that stuff running around like we're nice folks. Jesus said, didn't just say, go into all the world and feed the poor. Didn't say that. I'm not against helping people. I'm not against it. But I'm going to tell you what. We've gone way too far. The gospel. He said, gospel, don't get... He said, there's missionaries. He said, I meet missionaries all the time. He said, on the field. And all they do is they're just feeding people and take care of people. He said, that's all they do. Why? Because they get loads of money. And you can even get the government to send you money. You have government agencies. The government will give you a grant. We have churches here in America. You know, and we could have literally done this. If you set up programs to help certain people in Singapore, the government will give you certain monies if you'll do things. The government can. There's churches. I said in a meeting, they were talking about, it was supposed to be on church finances and stuff and things, and the government regulations and all that kind of stuff. And you know, the things to make sure you want to know that you're doing things right. Well, I was sitting in this meeting. And the guy running the meeting, he's out of this big church, and he's talking about how, you know, the regulations. This guy's a lawyer out of this church. And he's explaining all these different things, and he said about how you can get government money. He said, we start a program, because if you start this program, he said, the government will give you money. He said, so we set up this to help kids. And what we do is, it's nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to help kids. He said, we start this program, and it's get kids in and give them exercise, let them have exercise. And they come in, and we set up a gym thing so they could come and do some stuff. And he said, the government gave us money, and we bought all these vans. And he said, we have all these vans we got free from the government. And he's sitting there talking this stuff. And I did manage to say, because I just wanted to get up and walk out right then. I thought, this is what this, the government, God can't provide you a van. You have to set up a government program. And they're taking government money. Why? God ain't making them rich. I'll guarantee if they're doing that, they're doing a lot of other things. It's just like the Chinese pastor who, when he left America, and they asked him what he thought of the American church, and he said, it's amazing what you can do without God. That's what he said. It's amazing what you can do without God. You don't go to China and the government help you if you're a Christian. You're not going to go. That didn't happen. America has got to be a mess. We have left, really, and it all comes down to this. We have left the love of God. That's the basis of this thing. That's the basis of all of it, is we leave the love of God. We walk in natural human love. We don't know Him. We have deeds that we do, deeds that we perform and we're happy with. We give money, but we're not giving God anything because we love. Well, I'm trying to do good. I ain't trying to do good. If I follow the Bible, I'm doing good. If you're trying to do good, this is what's happening. You have no faith in it. You don't know if it's working or not. You're still trying. I ain't trying to do good. I don't give trying to be good. No trying to it. I give because I love. And I love to do it. It's the right thing to do. There's no trying in it. There's faith. There's faith in it in my God. There's faith in it, the fact that God's going to take care of me no matter what happens. See, we have to have that here in this last day. What goes on? See, people run in fear. There's all this stuff out here. Well, the economy crashing and all this kind of stuff. They're talking all these things going on. All the bad and stuff is going to happen. Well, what if it comes and knocks on the door? What about you? You going to spend all your time complaining about politicians and what they did? Who are you most attached to? Say, man, things are getting so ugly, we're going to have to trust God. Isn't that a new... Wow! Has it gone to this? That we're going to have to trust God. Well, if it arrives at that, not much is going to happen for you. It's like, no. God will prove Himself. I will guarantee you, things shake up in this nation. There will be an anointing comes. There will be. And I'll tell you what, you can't buy it. No minister will buy it. Nobody. That thing will come, and I'll tell you what, those who are prepared for it, and those are the ones who love Jesus, they'll step into this place. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to knock the shoes off of folks. People are going to look and say, well, it couldn't be them. That has to be God or what's going on. It's greater than what men can do. That's the move of God that I'm looking for. I have seen the moves of men. And I watched them last for time, and they sizzle out and don't amount to much. Then there's the move of God. And I'll tell you, this last move is going to shake things up. It's going to divide in this nation. Those who will want God and those who won't. The ones who want God are going to step into greater glory. And the ones who don't, they're going to step into more hatred and darkness. But I'm going to tell you what. There are people in this earth that have been just waiting for something real. And something supernatural. Something better than a hamburger and a hot dog. Something that's greater. That a love shows up like they have never seen in their life. That they don't know that you walk around and says God loves them. He's going to prove it to them. He's going to step in and prove to them He loves them. He's going to give them what money can't buy. He's going to do for them what nobody... People would change lives. That they have tried. They've gone through all the programs. They've been in and out of rehabs. They've been in and out of all this junk. They've taken all the drugs to try to, the doctors gave them to try to straighten their minds out. Hallelujah. The devil don't care how many drugs you take. He'll give you more. He don't care. He don't care. As long as he can hold you captive.
Amen.
But there's one when he shows up and his name's Jesus. And when he shows up, he sets the captive free. Hallelujah. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Hallelujah. Something shows up. Jesus, the Bible says that God didn't change. We preach a God today, a God of weakness, a God of all get you by, a God of, well, you know, things are so bad out here, and the government gets, it's all going to go under. I'm going to tell you, it's all going to go under when Ed leaves.
That's right.
It's all going under when Ed leaves. So you just watch and see what happens with Ed, and then you'll know what's going to happen. You know, just watch, you'll see. Hallelujah. And they'll know this. My God, the church upheld this thing. This thing worked while they were there. And it don't work no more. There's a God in heaven. And when He draws back, they're going to find out. If God ain't in it, you don't want to be in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Glory to God. See, there's people you need to preach these things to. People, these things you need to tell people. See, you might say, you know things. You know, but I'm going to tell you, we're living in a world that's dark. We're living in a church world that's dark and people don't know. They're trying to get God to like them. They're trying to get God to show up for them. They don't know. They've been told. They're trying to do good things. They don't know that He loves them no matter what. They don't know. You know, get by Christianity. It's just, you know, we're down here and, you know, you never know what God's going to do, you know, and His wisdom is out beyond ours. Well, the Bible says if I ask wisdom, He'll give it to me. So it couldn't be He's holding out on wisdom. But religion blinds people. Don't be blind. Understand, you're dealing with people. You know, I see this all the time. It's just even Christians, they seem so stupid, but I realize they ain't taught. They don't know. The worst ones I'm just going to tell you, the hardest you're going to deal with, the hardest person you're going to deal with in these last days, it's not the sinner. It's the lukewarm Christian is going to be the hardest to reach in these last days because they think they're okay. They're going to be the hardest. They have lived over it. You know what? And most of these people, especially the ones who have walked with God and gotten away, and they have known, and over the years, they've become lukewarm over time. I'm okay, I'm a Christian, I'm a pretty good person, I'm this. They get into that place. They ain't seeking for nothing. They ain't trying to come out to nothing. They're not heading toward God. If you say to them about their life and question their faith, they'll get so mad at you. And the first thing you'll throw it, who are you to judge? Well, say, well, excuse me, I have to because you won't. You won't judge yourself, but you're going to be judged, and you ain't going to like how this thing's going to turn out. Jesus Christ is coming. And He hears you say this Christian thing. And it's only to Him words from your mouth. It is not anything from your heart. Because you're not, just like with Israel, heart's not near Him. Heart. See, you might think it's just natural you have a heart for God. But you're living among many Christians that don't have hearts for God. Many. They're playing games on the outside. But inside, watch them. Watch what they do. Watch. Hey. We're living among this. And they're going to have a hard time, those people, when they see all that are going to come out of darkness into light in these last days. All the people that they say are so worse off than they are. They'll come to the Lord. They've been waiting to see some light. They have lived with a wall before them of dark Christians who have blocked out the light of God. But God's going to blow up that wall. God's going to blow up that wall. God's going to blow that thing up with His glory. And His glory and the light will shine. And there's people who have longed for light. But the church never gave it to them. Christians never gave it to them. But they'll see the light and they will come. It's happened in every revival of the past. I watched how Spirit-filled people got upset when during the charismatic renewal when God started filling Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics with the Holy Ghost. Well, that couldn't be God. God couldn't fill a Catholic with the Holy Ghost. I'd say to him, oh, my God, He must be able to do it to anybody. He did it to you. Holy heck, if He could do it to you, He could do it to anybody. They got upset about that. Well, hey, Mike kept talking about back. I don't know if you folks remember, you know, the hippie movement and that stuff of God. How many churches got upset over that kind of stuff? Yeah. Well, it can't be God. He couldn't. Good God, born again with long hair. Got his hair cut and trimmed up and that stuff and did something about that tattoo. God might be able to reach him. You never know. I said, oh, clean him up and then get him saved. That's the old religious junk. No, get him saved. It's God's job. He's got to clean him up. Hallelujah. What do you do to clean them up? You start teaching them the Word. You know, like Mike just said, what do they do? They turn around, send teachers out. Send somebody out to teach them so they'll learn. No, what we want them to clean them up without teaching them. We want them cleaned up because they're annoying to me. You know, I don't want that straggly looking thing coming around. Somebody will think that I'm weird. We already do. Haven't you noticed we didn't want to be around you? Hallelujah. See, that's the move of God. It's knocking on our doors. It's here. People are looking out there. You know, they're looking in all kinds of places and all kinds of things. And they're out here wanting God to move. God don't need to move for Ed. I don't need a miracle to do something. I don't need that. Miracles operate for other people. Their need. Not mine. I'm already blessed with everything. Whatever, Jesus, let's just think, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Why would you need something special? My God! Jesus, our Lord and Savior said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. What better invitation would you need? What is the church? And the church, wait, we want to move of God in the church. I want to move of God in the world. The church ought to know God. Many Christians will come to know God in this last move. They're going to come to know Him. They've walked for years and not known Him. They didn't know Him. Didn't know what He's like. Hallelujah. Much is about to change. Shaking. Shaking. Oh, hallelujah. Shaking coming. Finding out what's important and what's not. Oh, that's going to shake people. Oh, what's important and what's not. I will guarantee it'll come. People won't think about themselves and what they're having. I'm just going to tell you, when this thing comes, this is what's going to happen in the church. The church is going to start getting ready to leave. Yep. People ain't going to be worried about their stuff. They're going to be, you know, I ain't got time for that. We got this. We got a field over here. Hallelujah. And I don't want any of that stuff wasting my time because the glory's over in the field. Oh, and I want to get out in the field with that glory. I want to be in that. I want to be where the true riches are. There's nothing matter with having stuff in this earth. But I'm going to tell you what, when the true riches show up, you're going to find out where you're at to where you want to stay. You will. Hallelujah. Watch how many just walk away and say, I'm going to the field. There's glory. I'm going to the field. Hallelujah. Because there's riches out there that I've never had before, and I want to get into those riches. I want to walk in that place. I want to walk in that place where the anointing comes on me and never leaves. I used to get that for 2 weeks at a time in Fiji. It's one of the most phenomenal things. I know what it is generally. I walk in here and say, the anointing comes on me and teach me. But I'd go to Fiji to minister, and the anointing would stay on me for 2 weeks every time I went over there. The anointing would come on me and stay for 2 weeks. It wouldn't lift off of me. I'd only sleep a couple hours at night. You don't need to sleep much if the anointing's on you all the time. Mm-hmm. Just when you get in a plane and go home, then they got to put an IV in you. Just let me tell you, when the anointing lifts, you find out how human you are. You find out you ain't Mr. Glory. The glory was on you. You ain't Mr. Glory. But I'd go there and I'd anointing come for 2 weeks at a time. I'd have the anointing on me. I mean, all the time. It'd be on me. I'd teach and minister. I'd teach 4 or 5 hours in Bible school. Go to churches and preach. And the anointing just stay. Well, naturally, you don't care. If somebody ain't got the anointing, you don't do that. And you know what I found out? Most of the ministers that went to Fiji to minister didn't have that because, I remember I was asked, how come you come here and they said, you just go and minister and do all this stuff. And I said, well, it's anointing. Because they said, well, the other ministers, when they fly in here, they got to wait a couple of days till they feel good enough so they can go start to teach. And, you know, they teach a couple of hours and then they got to go rest. Why? Well, you know what they said? This guy wrote this book of China, Chinese minister. He put in there, he told American ministers to stay at home. He said, if you can only come over here and you preach your 30-hour sermon, they said, don't bother coming. Please don't come to us. They said, if you can't preach for more 4 or 5 hours, don't come. That's what he said. He said, don't come. He said, our people ain't used to this stuff here. He said, America, it's holy business. Hey, you start getting over an hour of God, make you puke. You can only take some. Now, I know that from talking with Joe Purcell. Joe Purcell was ministered in China numbers of times. Ministered in China. And he said, they would go to a cave and go in a cave to minister. And they'd go in a cave. They'd stay there for over a week in a cave. And he said, all you did was continually teach. He said, you just take a few breaks, teach. He said, you go, sleep some hours, get up, come back, teach and teach and teach. He said, that's all you did. So we don't know. See, they want God. See, they need God. Because they don't have the government. If things go wrong, they have a program they go on to. Things don't work for me. I know somebody else that will do it for me. They don't have none of that. It's either God or nothing. Hallelujah. I want to join the God or nothing club. Hallelujah. Don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Thank you for your kindness to speak to us. And Lord God, Lord, when we can see, you're not condemning us. You're trying to take us to a place of so much greater glory. To see, Lord God, there's a place for us to walk that is beyond where we're at. And Lord God, we want to go there. Lord, I'm just so thankful for the moves of the Spirit that I have had the opportunity in my days in the earth to walk in. The things I've gotten to see, things I've gotten to even minister, things I've done. But Lord God, there's this thing coming. And somehow, Lord God, in me, there's a draw to that there's something coming on here. Lord, I've heard ministers in the past who said they saw these things. They said it was like a tidal wave. This thing was coming. It was enormous. It was going to come. This thing, like men have never seen before, that people haven't known before. Lord, like men like Smith Wigglesworth, who prophesied concerning this last move, talking about healing, things are going to go on that men have never seen or known. The greatness of the glory of this last move of God that would come on the earth. And I want to thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that we're standing in the light of that day. I believe that we're the people of this day and time. Lord, it doesn't surprise me that things have gotten in the mess. Lord, you're letting people get it into them up to their necks. And then they're going to get to see the real God. They're going to want Him. When He shows up, they're going to want to know Him. Hallelujah. Because they're going to see what men have done. Oh, Hallelujah. And the only Redeemer there is the God of heaven. Hallelujah. The only Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. Oh, when we leave this place, oh, what a glory it shall be. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. When the Church of Jesus Christ, and Lord God, I'm just so thankful. It's not going to be some little crowd. It's not going to be some small thing. Oh, Lord God, in this earth, there's going to be such a shaking. Hallelujah. When that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise. Hallelujah. That we, which are alive and remain here, caught up together with you in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. Oh, my. Lord God, I can hear the groan in the earth. I can hear the groan of the ones who decided they didn't want it. The ones who have trailed off to the side to follow their own ways. Oh, Lord God, what a groan there'll be in this earth. Hallelujah. But what a shout there'll be for the church who get to look on their Savior. What a shout there's going to be. Hallelujah. That we get to be with the one who loved us. The one who sacrificed for us so we could have glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our bright future. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're in these last days. We're going to walk in the light. Hallelujah. Just as you are in the light. Hallelujah. We're walking with you in this thing, in that glory. Hallelujah. Oh, the glory. Hallelujah. How it shall be. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.